Soul Tape Champions Live, Urban Media Today Radio, coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are joined by Smoke and Jim Frazier, the host of 9 or 10 different sports talk shows here in Pittsburgh. Every time I turn the TV on, he on a different show. Has no allegiance to anybody. Just show up wherever they give him a paycheck, and that's all right. Radio talk show, sports TV talk show, writes for the Pittsburgh Courier, all that. And we're joined by the great JT Thomas, 4-time Super Bowl champion, defensive back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kevin Cameron, Bill Neal, your co-host here today. And before we go back into that deep conversation that Kev wanted to finish up with, JT, I wanted to ask, what are you doing now? You've been retired for a few years, I think most Pittsburghers, probably most people around the country, know you've been a successful businessman for a lot of years. But what are you doing now?
Well, guys of my own, we don't retire; we transition. I've been in the food restaurant development management ever since I retired from pro ball. Now I'm in the coffee business. I joined with a local company called Crazy Mocha Coffee Company. And I'm here with a good friend of mine named Ken Zeff, the owner. And I'm acting as his first franchisee. I'm kind of expanding or franchising Crazy Mocha Coffee Company. So I'm still in the food business.
Nice. Yeah. Now, see, you were dogging me during the break. But what you don't realize is I just walked him into a future advertising opportunity for us.
Great.
See, now we got him on air.
I'm not going to be a franchisee.
Hey,
definitely. You know, we got
to come talk.
Back.
Hey,
we got to come talk. Back to advertise now. Definitely. See, but you wasn't with that.
I'm thinking
you was with the darts. You was busy throwing the darts. I'm thinking down the road.
Hey, forget the advertising. I'm thinking about being a franchisee.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's the best real coffee in Pittsburgh.
Well, okay. Now, where are you located at?
I'm located. My first location is in the Hill District on Center Avenue, near the Hill House and the new Shop and Save Shopping Center.
So, what's the address?
1836 Center Avenue.
Okay.
But there are 30 Crazy Mochas in the area, and also there's one in New Jersey, one in Florida.
Now, if any of our listeners go in and say they heard this on Soul Take Champions Live, is there something you can throw them, a little a little mocha?
Yeah, I can give you some espresso, and that's what you need. It'll tame you, Bill.
A little espresso. It would tame. It'd be tame, nice to have
tame,
some now.
Tame and cultivate.
All right, now let's get back to the heart of the matter, Kev. You wanted to finish up on a subject, and then I'd love to hear what each of us thinks about the Steelers' untimely demise, and then our predictions for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I have two things I want to wrap up the previous discussion on. I know you mentioned New England and Belichick having control. What happened with this Jimmy Garoppolo situation? Probably didn't even pronounce his name right, but you know, here it is. He was traded for what I believe is a second-round pick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, JT, I know you know this. You can't play forever.
No, you
okay,
can't.
Okay, so Tom Brady, I'm not sure when he's hanging up his cleats, but you got to have someone to backfill Tom Brady. And
I agree.
And you know, one of the things I still argue as of today, I think the Indianapolis Colts should have held on to Peyton Manning.
Right.
But that's a whole different story.
Yeah, but I don't know. The question could be, is Belichick moving on? Is Belichick going to Cleveland? And who knows? I mean, I would think, wait a minute, he's not actually securitizing himself.
Mm-hmm.
So is he moving on at this point in time?
Yeah.
Who knows?
There was a rumor about New York weeks ago.
New York. But he came from there under one of my college coaches, Bill Parcells. So he could be going back to New York. Who knows?
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
One of the main things, though, with Jimmy was at the end of his contract. So to bring him back next year, you'd have had to pay him over $20 million,
right,
plus Brady over $20 million. And don't forget, Brady and Kraft, that's like his son.
So
Kraft is going to go with Brady.
Yeah, Brady is franchise family forever.
And he said he's going to play five more years.
Wasn't a guy in Dallas, Jerry Jones' son as well?
He don't have no rings, and he got one playoff victory.
No. Good point.
And I hate him on TV, and he still sound like he owned a steak company.
I agree.
He's got a bad back.
I don't like his commentary as well. The last thing, JT, I wanted to ask you about, you know, with the Steelers here, and you know, you have to ask someone that's been there.
Okay.
Okay, and you've been there. okay? And you helped build what we see today.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so, and I'm a guy, I'm a season ticket holder, and I've been to 2 away games this year as well. So I normally try to pick a game where I can travel to.
Right.
And we travel, Steeler fans, we travel better than,
oh, definitely.
than any other team in the NFL. I don't care what anyone says. But could you provide a little commentary on Steeler fans when you played on the road versus Steeler fans as of today? Because, like I said, you helped build it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm sure it wasn't as robust
right
then as it is today. So when you look at it, if you could just, add some comments.
I think what happened when I came to Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh was the 5th largest corporate city in America. It was like the Silicon Valley. So what happened when the steel mills, exited out of here, a lot of people left. And I noticed in the 70s, wherever we went, there were Pittsburgh Steeler fans. And I think what happened, when they left, they colonized.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't leave, their hearts didn't leave Pittsburgh. So as a result of that, these people went, out there with the Alcoas and the Gulf Oils to other areas, and they kept the loyalty there. So because we went places, did they travel? No. They were transplanted from Pittsburgh. And I think when the population left, people left, but they kept their loyalty to the team for the most part. And I think that's what happened. So it's almost a cult. I went on a Steeler cruise a few years ago, and 80% of the people were not from the Pittsburgh area.
Mm-hmm.
They were from Germany, South America, Hawaii. I mean, it was just amazing. My daughter's is in Charlotte. My brother's in Atlanta. You got the Steeler bars there that are crazy. So it's just amazing what has happened. It's probably one of the greatest franchises, the greatest marketing thing. And they are the number one team from a marketing. They've done a great job, and they're known. And they strike fear in the hearts of people. Like when they walk in, there's a moment of silence when they see that black and gold. Mm-hmm. And we used to love it.
Yeah.
You can hear a cockroach pissing. Excuse my French public. when they saw the black and gold. You can edit that out, But anyway,
Well, to that point, Jay, to that point that I want to do go around the horn. And going back to what LC said, how was it knowing that you were the best in the world everywhere you went, when you walked in the door with that black and gold, it commanded the attention of the room. Certainly, and you guys were mostly bachelors then, that women adored you, men wanted to be like you. What was it like when you, I know Dwayne Woodruff said that aside from his marriage and the birth of his kids, running onto that field for the Super Bowl was just the most amazing thing ever.
I don't know. The Super Bowl was kind of anticlimactic for us. Both Super Bowls, we knew we had won them before kickoff. And I'll share, the first one was in Tulane Stadium. We were standing in the stadium introduction, and we're young. We're next to the Purple People Eaters in the tunnel here. And these guys looked like real Vikings. They looked taller. It had been raining before the halftime. They had beers, and they had rain in their beards, so they looked like real Vikings, So we wouldn't look at them, and it was very quiet in the tunnel. We were scared. We had a 12th man on our squad, defense, and it was called Fear. And the reason what broke that was Glenn Edwards. Glenn Edwards was the last guy to be introduced. He was standing between both lines at the rear, and he was upset because one of his teammates from college with the Vikings refused to speak to him in warm-up. And Glenn was just livid. But we didn't know why. So in this tunnel, went for introduction there, and these guys, like they were 8 foot tall. We were scared. Joe wasn't saying nothing. Lambert, nobody saying nothing. Fats, Dwight, we little choir boys. All of a sudden, Glenn bellowed out in the back of the tunnel, standing between both lines, arms folded. He said, "You know what?" And everybody looked back. So Glenn answers his own question. You said, we're going to kick your blinkety, blinkety. And at that time, it erupted. Joe Green breaks ranks. He goes over, chewing gum, half in his mouth out, looking in guys' faces, you know. White started talking about, do your mama know you out here? Lambert was biting into his gum. He gonna start blood coming out of his, because he had no teeth up there. And Ernie Holmes said, I'm gonna hurt somebody. The game was over with in the tunnel. And that was the power we had. The second Super Bowl didn't change. We were in Miami. We walked out, Steelers fans hanging all over in the tunnel, introduction. And we looked over to the left, we saw the Dallas Cowboys. We saw Dorsett, Drew Pearson, Staubach standing there. And Dwight White said, hey, look at their eyes. And their eyes were fixed. You know that look you have in your eyes when your mama said, when your daddy get home, and when the car pulls up, yeah, you hear the door closes.
Yeah, you know it's trouble.
Dwight said, look at the eyes. Dwight said, we got them. We knew the game was over with in both situations before we hit the field. Mm-hmm. And that was the magnitude of where Chuck had our minds. But you have to understand, Chuck Noll had a template for Super Bowl. I pick Super Bowl every year. I can pick it. If I was a gambler, I would own Pittsburgh.
You're going to have people calling you now.
I know that. They do. I have some friends, you know, because that's a template for winning the Super Bowl.
Well, it's hold that simple. Thought. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. We'll get that opinion. Yeah. So let's do this very quickly and go around the horn here. Kev, your opinion of your just maybe one or two points as to why the Steelers are not going to the Super Bowl and your prediction. And I'll go to Jim next and save JT for last.
I got one word for why the Steelers aren't going to the Super Bowl. Focus. Okay? No matter what you do, you got to have the right focus. And I do not believe the Steelers had the right focus, and they paid dearly for it. I mean, you know, JT, my Steeler teams that I've known showed you what they could do. Didn't talk about what they could do. They showed you, okay? Like I said, today it's totally different with social media and everything. You know, you can't talk about a redemption series where this is number one of two games, like Le'Veon Bell said, and you know, you can't come out, you know, even Mike Tomlin talking about, you know, this is one or two, and, you know, focus. The Super Bowl, I'm going to go out on a limb. I really can't stand these people. But I'm picking Philadelphia, and I'm picking Philadelphia just from a standpoint of, things tend to happen, and it seems like it's been happening probably for the last 2 years, I guess. You know, I'm throwing politics in here, too, with the election, terrible election, presidential election, just to clarify. But, you know, when you think something is going to occur, the opposite occurs sometime. And I know New England is the heavy favorite. And on paper, I would say, you know, they're the favorite as well. But I just have a feeling that Philadelphia is going to pull it out.
Jim, your reasons for the Steelers not being there? And
well, I'll be real quick. Number one, I'm a professional gambler, so I want to get with JT. But, hey, listen, the Pittsburgh Steelers is a great team, great organization. But the Pittsburgh Steelers are running into the same thing where, in my opinion, these are Hall of Fame coaches, Bum Phillips, Marty Schottenheimer and George Allen, they come in an era where there's a greater team. New England's just a greater team. And I'm rolling with James Harrison and the New England Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
But the Steelers did lose to New England.
Yes, they did, technically. I mean, New playoffs, England was going to beat the brakes off of them again.
I mean, you have a –
Well, if you want to say why they lost in the playoffs, the same reason you have to watch me on TV, I predicted Jacksonville was going to beat Pittsburgh because defense wins championships. Pittsburgh don't have it, and Jacksonville do.
Yep. And the Steelers score 42 points on them. And defense wins championship.
Yeah, go figure. And then, of course, you fire the offensive coordinator that gave you – 40-plus points, and you keep the defensive coordinator that gave up 40-plus
points.
Yeah,
and that's a lessons learned in itself.
Well, he lost a fight in the bar, so that's why he left.
But that's a lessons learned.
His wife started the fight,
so. And we've seen it across sports. If you don't have the right relationship, it doesn't matter.
Well, let me just say this. I'll make it even shorter than Smoking Jim. And you guys, you know, you just continue to miss it. This Super Bowl is about karma.
Oh, who
the
is she?
Steelers are not in the Super Bowl because they did James Harrison wrong. And New England's going to win the Super Bowl because James Harrison is going to get the sack that causes the fumble like he did. And it's going to be New England winning because of James Harrison. Harrison's getting another ring, and he's going to be able to give them – you know the finger they put up when they say number one, but Harrison's going to give him another finger because the Pittsburgh Steelers did James Harrison wrong.
And under the in Webster, whatever the Merriman Webster, I can't even
dictionary.
Say it.
And Webster,
the dictionary,
yeah, Webster,
whatever it's called these days, right
the
by
the thing, we'll raise his ugly head every now and then.
Right by hypocrite, James Harrison.
Oh, we're not having that conversation. This was my set piece. Well, I've got James Harrison to make it all the difference.
You can't talk about a team that cheated you out of Super Bowls and then go join them.
Well, number one, I think that James Harrison did himself wrong, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Thank
you, JT.
Yeah, he did himself wrong. He shot himself in the foot. But we want to talk about that a little bit? My perspective on James Harrison, we can move on to the Super Bowl stuff.
Well, you're more than welcome to do so because you have 4 Super Bowl rings, but James Harrison's about to get another one. I don't know how James Harrison shot himself in the foot.
Talk to me about it. Well, if I'd have been James Harrison at this stage in my career, what I would have done, I think him going to New England was a tactical move by Belichick, assuming that Pittsburgh would come and then use him as a decoy or red herring, would have been.
Agreed.
Okay. I've been James Harrison. I would have been on the sideline with pong-pongs, cheering the Steelers on, whatever. Because, put it this way, you already got 1 foot in the casket. If you're going to get buried in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Don't go to New England to get buried. They're going to bury you out in the woods someplace. Mm-hmm. So my point, I was kind of shocked that he left. I would have been like on with tights on, whatever, with pong-pongs running around the field. It had been me. And retired here, I think he could have leveraged his legacy, his name here. I think that was short-sightedness on his part.
We all remember that James Harrison didn't want to go see the first black president, so I don't think he cares about legacy and those levels of thing, which I agree with you are important.
Well, you know, I used to be a child one day, and I will become a man too one day. I'm sure he will too.
So who's your prediction to win the Super Bowl?
In the Super Bowl night, I'm going to help you predict. In order to win the Super Bowl, you got to have it's a prototype that you got to have to win the Super Bowl. That's a segment you got to have. Offensively, to win the Super Bowl, you got to have 2 all-pro wide receivers. You got to have 1 all-pro quarterback and 1 all-pro running back. So that's the template offensively. Defensively, you must have a front 4 or 7 that can control the line of scrimmage. You got to have at least 2 all-pro defensive backs in your secondary. You take that template and put it on any Super Bowl, that's the win. Now, Pittsburgh, you put the temple on Pittsburgh. Offensively, we win it.
Yes, sir.
Defensively, the line of scrimmage, we had 1 all-pro defensive back from Cleveland that came in. I think that if a safety or another corner had stepped up to the all-pro level, we were there. 42 points, win it. I don't think the lack of motivation, the lack of coaching there, I think it's a personnel situation at that level, because you're not gonna get fired up. You're gonna play at your level. I mean, if you're a thoroughbred, you're a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
If you're a cutting horse, mule, or jackass, that's what you are. Okay, and so who's winning the Super Bowl? Well, Brady is one of those guys like the Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He bring guys to his level, which is amazing. On paper, they're not that great, I don't think. Personnel-wise, you know, they're not. I mean, but what is it about him that brings players to the next level? And you have to understand, Brady is playing 3-dimensional chess while everyone else is playing checkers. That's the problem. You saw last in Atlanta.
And they moved pieces and all that kind of stuff.
Atlanta had four gears to shift. And most teams, if they get through four gears shifting, you know, they done shot the wad. Brady got eight gears.
Brady got eight gears, man.
And you know what? And, you know, I admire that because you see him shifting. I mean, you no matter what happened, this guy is fearless.
So you're talking, for the layman out there that don't get it, you're talking Ali Lee and Bearcat Williams.
No, I'm talking.
You're talking Ali Lee and Bearcat Williams when Ali Lee knew how many times he would hit this man and punish him before he dropped
him. Yeah, I'm talking about Thoroughbred versus Clydesdales and cutting horses.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, and you have to give it to him strictly based on he go to a level that most players haven't been to.
Well, speaking of Thoroughbreds, before we run you out of here,
okay.
This is the rapid fire segment, so I need some quick responses on this.
Go ahead.
This is coming out. This is coming from the ranks of the people who want to know to one of the greatest football players of all time, JT Thomas. Your greatest moment as a Pittsburgh Steeler?
Oh, my greatest moment was probably Franco's immaculate reception.
And did anybody else touch that ball?
I wasn't here.
You don't know.
No, that's not. I wasn't on the team. Okay,
so you don't. You're not claiming you know what happened.
Oh no, I'm not claiming that because French and I was roommates. You know, but I have vows, commitments, and covenants. You know, but my greatest moment was the immaculate reception, and I'll explain why. I'm in Palo Alto in an All-Star game, East West Shrine. I'm in there. Only had $500 on the way out there. In a week, I'm down to 150. I bet 30 guys on the team, $30 a head on Pittsburgh. Now, I never heard of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh never talked to me. I never ran a 40-yard dash for Pittsburgh. Now, the next month, I'm going to be drafted by Pittsburgh. I have no idea. I don't know about Pittsburgh. Who's going to Pittsburgh? I'm going to Miami, Dallas, someplace. I'm sitting there, done betted, $30. I don't even know how to bet. So I done bet about $900. You know, what was I doing? As the game progressed and Pittsburgh was losing, I'm sitting there trying to sneak out the door. Player said, "Stop tea." There's just two sous chefs back there. They were bigger than me. With this big pig and these two swords on this pig. They blocked the door, put me in a chair next to the door. I'm sitting there, oh my God, waiting for these guys to collect or beat me to smith it. Well, all of a sudden I hear this uproar. Ah, no. I looked up. There go Franco Harris. I stood up in my chair. I got both sabers and a pot. Mm-hmm. I'm tapping the pot with one hand. Anyone trying to go off, I'm cutting necks off. I made about $900. Haven't seen this little black boy out of Macon, Georgia. Hadn't seen $900 in his life. Yeah. Not knowing that next month I'm the number one draft choice.
Amazing. Yeah,
so that's my greatest one.
Greatest team. Here's a tough question.
The greatest team?
Greatest football team, in your opinion?
Got to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Greatest defense, in your opinion?
Come on. You see, that speaks for itself.
Honest question here. Greatest player you ever seen or played against?
The greatest player.
Played with or played against?
Played against. That is hard. I have to go by position. One of the greatest linemen I've seen was Joe Green. He controlled. One of the most physical was Ernie Holmes. Joe was finesse. Ernie was there to maim and hurt people, and he did. Mel Blount, I must say, was one of the, what made Mel great was that Mel won't admit this, Mel was beat most of the time. That's why they threw the ball at him a lot. They didn't throw it at me, hell, they was throwing the mail. You know. Mel will be beat, and he claimed he set it up that way, you know. And when the ball's in the air, he turns into something super. We call him soup. We all ran 4.4s and 4.5s, okay. When the ball in the air, we bought legitimate 4.4. We saw it in Houston once on Kenny Burrell's world-class sprinter. We all converged on Kenny, and so did, and he had beat all of us. But when the ball got in the air, most sprinters stride in 7.5 foot stride, or 8. Tony Dorsey had about 8 foot stride. Mel Blount, when the ball's in the air, gains a stride on everybody like the film jumps. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that cartoon, The Road Runner and Willie mm-hmm. Coyote. Mm-hmm. You know that gear that guy shipped in?
Yeah.
We used to call that police speed. Well, this is bad. This is past police speed.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel Blount would be beat, and actually beat. And something amazing just kept me. Deion Sanders does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Mel was physical. Hit, you know. So and one of the greatest defensive backs had to be Mel Blount.
Last question for you, JT Thomas.
Oh, and then next to me.
last question for you. Your team, your best Steeler team at its best against the current Pittsburgh Steeler team at its best. Who wins that game?
We do. I think it was our 76 team, the team that we had six shutouts. We lost Bradshaw. Krusak was handing the ball off. And that was we didn't win the Super Bowl because Franco got hurt. Rocky got hurt. We went to the playoff with one running back. The 76 team was our best team.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the great JT Thomas, four-time Super Bowl champion. We've been honored to have him with us on our opening debut show. And, again, we're going to come back after this break, and Kevin Cameron's going to take you even further into the world of sports around the country, around the world. Smoking Jim Frazier is going to stay with us, and Warren Wilson is going to join us so we can talk about some basketball stuff, former college and pro standout. But right now, we're going to take a break, come back with you in a minute. But remember, it is Urban Media Today Radio.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.